Today is a great day for a car wash.
Yeah, sure. Car wash. This is the car wash on the SL podcast. Sizohlangana khona.
Good day and welcome to episode number 88 of the Car Wash. On today's show, Bafana off to a decent start, what FIFA says about buying promotion, and so much more. Whether you're tuning in on SL Podcast.co.za, Apple Podcast, Spotify, Google Play, or Makikeng 96.7's Game Time, welcome to the show. I am, of course, Sean Roberts, and of course, I'm not alone. I'm with Mr. Tech or Badisa Tex. How are you, my friend?
I'm good, and you, Sean?
I'm very well, thank you. How is that missing tooth of yours?
Hey, dude, I took out four.
What?
Yeah, man.
Were they giving you issues?
Yeah, they were giving me issues. So damn. I had to get rid of them.
Once probably why you're speaking so much Damn. Right, from there, let's do this. Joke of the day. Probably the jest joke you've ever heard in your life. Here we go. How do trees access the internet?
Dude, I saw this.
They log in.
Dude, I saw you wrote this I think last night on Instagram. And I'm like, you better not come back with that to the car wash.
Did you have a chuckle? I always preloaded before the car wash, dude.
No, it's just that I've imagined you, which is not a good imagination, but imagine you writing that and laughing at your own damn joke.
Alrighty, let's move on. From there, we move on to pole position. Pole position is a segment where we ask our fans and our supporters club a certain question and get voice note replies. This week we asked you, what changed for Bafana and what did you think of their performance against Ghana? And this is what you had to say.
I think Bafana game against Zimbabwe, it was more technical. There was no cohesion, no combination plays. So the coach saw it on that day. So that's why he came with another plan, so that he can try to build his own team. So yesterday against Ghana, the combination was good. Everything was good. And the introduction of Ngovo and Blom had stability in the defense in the middle field.
I think they played very well. What the coach has to change, I think we don't have more strikers. We need more strikers. Yesterday we have more strikers, we are going to score more goals.
Well, a draw against Zimbabwe, it was unfortunate in my opinion. We should have won that game, but it's part of the game. The performance was average, the same like yesterday, a massive win against Ghana, but the performance was still the average. But our biggest challenge as a country, we don't convert our chances. Look at how many errors did Ghana make at the back, but we didn't convert them.
Bafana Bafana game was amazing yesterday. The coach gave them the freedom. They were playing the way they want to play. If that guy continues to do that, Bafana Bafana is going far. They were playing. They were free. They were not under control of the coach. They were doing their thing. These boys was free yesterday. They was free.
Bafana Bafana is a little bit of a chance. It's just a chance. We have a full and show. We're going to go to the coming. We draw against Zimbabwe. With dedication, pride, everything.
I think our boys played very well, especially in the second half. We tried to connect those passes in the final set with the combination of Tau and Makhoba. I think if we can give the coach a chance at least for 2 years, we'll have a strong squad. Hence, our vision is to qualify for World Cup 2022.
Bafana Bafana idlale kakuhle kakhulu izolo. Kule match Bafana Bafana neZimbabwe hayi abadlalanga mnandi, but le match yayizolo, yes, Bafana Bafana neGhana idlale kakuhle kakhulu, but ikhona indawo ndigxekayo kucoach wethu. Ukhotshi wethu ngendlela engibona ngayo mina, yo suppose ukuthi uThemba Zwane ukhona, yabo.
Right, Tex. I mean, very much similar info and input from various people. A lot saying that we obviously improved from the Zimbabwe game, but not enough finishing prowess, not enough aggression up front. I think, Teko, in a nutshell, if we said last week that we would get 4 points out of these two games, we would have taken it. We did. And Yeah, look, okay, the Zim game, you know, it was Bruce's first game on the bench. We had a lot of possession in the first stanza, but failed in the final third, as what they have said, the fans. Percy is not his greatest performance. And around 65 minutes on, Buffon looked pretty tired. In my eyes, the Ghana game, a crucial 1-0 victory at Ghana, against Ghana at the FNB Stadium. This takes us to top of the log. Hugo Boss, your man, made two changes to the Bafana side. Ethan Brooks and Hlongwane came in for Gift Links and Luther Singh. Very physical game. And of course, Hlongwane with the last minute goal. Tex, in a nutshell, would you agree with that? Would you disagree with that? What do you think of the two games?
I think, first of all, those are two difficult fixtures.
Yes.
And it's always been the case with South Africa versus Zimbabwe and Ghana as well.
And let's not forget, this is a sort of rebuilding Bafana squad. And again, I'm very happy with the 4 points.
Yeah. I mean, look, in a nutshell, you look at the positive side is we had 4 points out of, you know, six and against strong footballing countries. But also on the flip side is we could have actually had six. We could actually be in a position where we're saying we have six by beating Zimbabwe as well. Because if you look at the star players of Zimbabwe, 80% to 60% of players from Zimbabwe, they're playing in our country.
Sure.
So it shouldn't be difficult for us to play and know the characteristics of the players. But yet again, it's a total different game when you're in the national team setup.
Of course.
But you look at the positives are, you're looking at all these youngsters that are proving themselves, you know, especially from so-called smaller teams being given an opportunity in the Bafana setup. But I still believe that within that setup itself, there are positions that we need different personnel and experience somewhere, you know, and I feel like...
What positions are those, Tex? Without putting anyone down of any sort, but what positions do you think we need possibly a bit more experience, as you put it?
No, you know, you come back and say we always need a spine that is very solid. And I think I strongly believe that you still do in the national team. Right now in the national team, you have one guy that everybody's relying on. You're relying on Percy Tau to be on song, and once Percy Tau is on song, everybody wants to be on song. So now you necessarily don't need that in the national team. You need to build a team that, as a team themselves, you know, they're able to go through difficult times and they're able to perform well even under difficult circumstances. Right now, Percy's been shifted. I think on the Ghana game, I saw him being shifted on the right inside when Hoppo was playing as a striker. Right, and Percy has never been a winger. He doesn't play as a winger, and I think the reason why also he wasn't able to get game time at Brighton because he's not a winger, so they can't use him anywhere else but there as a number 10 or number 9 position. So it tells you the kind of pressure that coach Hugo Bruce has. He still wants to play Percy because he has to play him, but he doesn't necessarily know where to play him. Because now he has a different formation within the national team, which is fine by me. But what I'm saying is within the experimentation as well, you need people that have been there. You need experience. And experience, I'm not talking about 6 caps and 7 caps in the national team against Zimbabwe and Botswana. I'm talking about season campaigners, people that are playing football in that level week in, week out. You know, you need to have a mixture. And I don't think right now we have a mixture. And I think if we do have a mixture, we'll probably have a proper balance that we need. Because now you see your Hlongwane starting to shine, starting to come in. You see your Gift Links coming to the national team. You see all those players that you want to see in the national team. But those players need somebody that they can... can show them ropes and actually help them into, you know, the integration of the national team or the expectation of playing for the national team.
Yeah, I accept that what you're saying and I agree with you. Having said that, I think in terms of getting certain players in that have experience, are you talking potentially not talking about them starting because we've sort of said that they're not performing for the national team and this national team does need a bit of a shake-up, which has happened. Are you saying possibly get some more senior players in the change room to guide the youngsters?
What I'm saying is for me personally, would say if we say the senior players that are supposed to be national are not performing right now in the PSL, who's performing? Mm. Who's your best player right now in the PSL? Mm. And include all the guys that are in the national team. The reason why we're so lenient because we understand that the national team with these guys that are new, that are young, they're given an opportunity and they're doing extremely well. But for you to find a proper balance in any team, whether you're a small team or a national team, in any sort of team, you need to find a proper balance. And in this case, we need a balance of senior players, experienced players that can probably guide these players to be able to play together. Look, you're playing against Ghana. Ghana brought their CEO, E-team, to come and play with us here. Right. And there's positions where in the field you could see that if we had maybe your Kotsia in the midfield, it would actually help us to calm down a bit so that we can have more control of the ball.
Right.
To be able to be dominant with the ball. Okay, maybe we don't need Kotsia in this game. We need Mukwena to be more adventurous. Let's put somebody that can defend for Mukwena. Those are the type of things that you need. Mm. I'm not saying don't overlook things just because you're saying you're looking at everybody in the PSL, then you need to select everybody that performs. Because if you're gonna look at the youngsters, there's not so many youngsters within the PSL for you to select them.
Yeah. So in a nutshell, you are saying you're happy that Bafana is rebuilding, which we spoke about last week, but you still feel certain players are being overlooked in terms of what they can add value to Bafana.
Yes, sir. A lot. There's a lot of players that I feel like, look, dude, you and me, we watch the Bafana, we are South African games more than anything else. I still strongly believe that there's players within the smaller structure of other teams that are not given an opportunity to come into the national team and play.
Like, that's always been the case, though, Tseko.
Yeah, I know that, but now you get a coach that came up and said openly and said, guys, I'm giving everybody a chance. You look at this boy from Cape Town City, the left back, Mashego.
Yes.
Who's Terrence. A better left back right now?
Yeah, good player.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like you, who's the better deep line playmaker than Kotsia? And how old is Kotsia? It's 24, 25. Mm. Come on, dudes. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying if you want to actually look at the whole circumference of the ball. Hey, my friend, look at the whole circumference of the ball. Don't sugarcoat and don't do all this type of thing. Because if you're able to look at Baraka play, if you feel like Mokhopa is the right guy for us, I've got no beef with you. Mm. But I'm saying when you go to other teams as well, have the same energy.
So
get the same energy.
Yeah. So the question comes down is Bruce surrounded by the right people? Or do we have the right selectors in place, right?
Look, I think we do have the right selectors in place, but we still have our own agendas. Mm. I strongly believe that we still have our own agendas. That has got nothing to do with what the game brings. Because if for me, if you're able to watch TS Galaxy play and be able to support the youngster from TS Galaxy to come to the national team and play, my man, I'm kudos to you. You're doing your job, which means you're watching all the other games. Mm. But then again, I'm saying to you, when you look at the people that you're supposed to be selecting, you look at the positions that you need in the national team. You're talking about being positional play. We want to have possession. You want to be able to keep possession. You look at the players that you want to use to keep possession and look at how they play in their teams.
Yeah, it doesn't sort of echo what they want.
Exactly. Though, how do you select them to come in and play a position in the national team, whereas in their team, they're not even doing that? It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, and then you've got a week with these guys or 10 days and you can't change anything, right?
You can't undo what they've been doing for 17 years.
Yeah.
So if you want to be position-based national team, get players that will help you in possession. If you want to use speed, get the players that will help you in speed in those type of departments.
Yeah, and these players might not be our number one picks, but they might fit that way of branding football perfectly, right?
Ah, Shonisto, my friend. Yeah. Hey, thank you very much. That's what I'm saying. But I'm not dissatisfied with the national team. Trust me. Yeah. I'm just saying there's few personnel that I feel like they should be there in the national team that can make a huge difference because of how they play. They'll bring a lot of energy. They'll bring a lot of belief. And I strongly believe that within the national team, with all the results that we got, you know, the 4 points that we got, I think the confidence will grow. But I still believe there's players that ooze confidence without even saying anything, and that can help the national team in playing better.
Yeah, sure. Interesting. I mean, that's, I think that we can go on this for hours and hours and hours, and things possibly won't change. But I think in a nutshell, we're happy with what's happened. We're happy with the four points. We're happy the way things are moving with Bafana in terms of what's happened in the past. And we do feel that there are other players out there that are possibly being overlooked, which they have been for years, for sure, in the smaller echelon of teams. Is that right?
Yeah, of course. And finally, now players, those type of players, have been given a chance. But also, what I'm saying is, it's you coming in as a foreign coach, you're studying everything from zero. Perfect. Kudos to you. Here's $20 buy coffee. But what I'm saying is, you want to play a certain way.
Yeah.
You want to play a certain way, and that certain way, you know the players that will help you with that. You know the type of personnel that you help. If you want, for instance, who are the best footballing teams in the country right now? Out of, just pick five. I can say AmaZulu, Sundowns. I can go Cape Town City. Who else? Football and playing. That when you watch Swallows also, sometimes Swallows when they're on their good day. There's not so many teams that are good on the ball.
Yeah.
That's the honesty. So now when you want to look at good footballing players, those are the first team that you're looking at.
100%, yeah. 100%. So
that's for me, is I don't care who's in the national team, who's not there, but I'm just saying, can we finally get people that are supposed to be there, instead of giving away, and I'm glad that he's not giving away caps for the sake of giving away. So there's a lot of light within this as well. Let's not dim the light. There's a lot of light.
Yes.
But I'm just saying, just add Tunyana, you know? Tunyana, the three. Fantastical classic.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Qatar 2022, here we come, I hope. Let's move on to Money Minute.
Right here, 8, that's 8 million rand. No, I see 9, that's 9. 9.5, no, 10. That's 10 million rand going once, going twice. Sold, that's 10 million rand to the man in the blue suit. Welcome to the Money Minute on the Car Wash.
This segment, we chat about what's happening the late in terms of money in world football. But we're going to stick to what's happening in South Africa and obviously this ridiculous conundrum about what the PSL has done in terms of what FIFA says about buying promotion. And nowhere else in the world are you allowed to buy a promotion, but because of how SAFA and PSL are structured, there seems to be some sort of grey areas. I just want to read a couple of things here. According to high-ranking sources at the PSL, it was only a matter of when rather than if Bloem Celtic would cease to exist in the top flight. Their financial shenanigans played out in public space for years, and insiders have described Max Shabalala's team as a ticking time bomb that would have exploded at any moment had it not been for the Royal AM. Celtic were no longer receiving their 2 million rand monthly grant directly, as it had long been attached to cover their debt, which includes but not limited to outstanding salaries for players and staff. But the reality is that even if this is a noble act from the PSL, the PSL hierarchy in their attempts to keep the league in a good standing, FIFA says you cannot buy promotion, that it must be earned. Article 10 of the World Governing Body's statutes leaves no ambiguity. A club's entitlement to take part in a domestic league championship shall depend principally on their sporting merit. For FIFA, that is the definition of integrity in the game, which now leaves the PSL exposed and under serious scrutiny. Quote unquote, if the South African Football Association were in complete control, then this wouldn't be happening. But the country has a unique situation where the mother body does not call the shots. Typical PSL South African football story. Teko, it's hard to believe, isn't it? It's just crazy.
Yeah, man. And for people to actually come out and actually start talking about this and relaying this, or maybe measuring this with what the book is saying, I think it's more interesting, because I think it opens more conversations and it exposes so many things. And I think most people or most governing bodies, they don't want to be exposed, or they don't want to be vulnerable, because maybe to them it's a sign of weakness. And I think, you know, at times when you f*** up, you know, or you own up, you fix what needs to be fixed, you apologize, we move on, and then we become stronger and stronger and stronger. Because I strongly believe that, like we said, I think the trend now it's becoming a thing. And for me, I wouldn't be surprised if 2 years, 3 years down the line, you realize that somebody, people were buying these teams for the wrong reasons, because probably maybe they're doing illegal stuff.
Sure.
You know, because you look at how easy it is right now to buy into the PSL, to buy these teams. It's no longer as difficult as it was. And probably maybe because of the financial situation that we're in, but we're not the only country that has those type of financial issues.
Sure, absolutely.
You don't hear those type of things in any other countries. But yet again, we're saying, if this is the situation and the situation is getting worse, as the PSL, what is it that we're doing to balance things out? Do we add more teams?
If thinking of adding more teams, you could just, it'll be more of this, I guess.
No, but the you remember not so long ago, the chairman of the PSL came out and spoke about how much money the PSL has made. So there are extra funds that are lying around that can you know, support these teams, or it's either you increase the grant. You get more sponsors in. I'm just saying there's business ways that you can actually help this to be better, or whatever the case might be. But I'm just saying if because there is a reason why the PSL has existed for this long.
Of course. And it works.
Yes, it works. It's successful. With all the dynamics, it works. It's successful.
Yes.
But I'm just saying, now we're encountering a new problem. Can we at least come up with new plans and new solutions to be able to fix this? Because we're killing football, and money is, and globally so, money is now killing football.
Yeah.
Because the integrity is no longer there. The pride is no longer there. It's how much money you have in your pocket.
100%. And I just want to read this little paragraph. A club that could be liquidated at short notice, unpaid players and staff, as well as a failure to honor a fixture because there are simply no funds, would be damaging to the league's brand. So I think that's interesting in terms of how the PSL just really need to protect their brand at all costs. And this is why we're seeing this Royal AM story come through, you know, and I sent this to Aiden, our producer, last week, literally as we finished the podcast last week. Far Post put out that the Royal AM players refused to train this morning. More than 15 players have not been paid. Some players were paid half salaries. They were promised apartments, but nothing. Families they left in Bloem cannot join them now. We are being treated like little kids, complained the source. Four players have to share a room at the clubhouse in Maritzburg. Coaches are sharing with players. There are 62 players in total. And apparently the chairman, Sean Mkhize, was having a meeting last week with the players. Dude, imagine you are a seasoned professional from Bloem Celtic. You've got a couple of hundred games under your belt. You've come to Maritzburg and you're sharing a room with kids that you and your family cannot come. I mean, Teko, this is beyond anything I've ever seen.
Yeah, this is bad for football.
Unbelievable. I don't know what's happened since. There's been nothing, but it's absolutely incredible.
Look, Sean, I think also for you look at also how it happened. For me, I'm not surprised that this is happening, even though I feel like this is bad for football.
Yeah.
You getting a message that, guys, the team has been sold on Friday. You need to leave today. You need to be in Durban at this certain time.
Yeah.
And you have 30 to 35 players. You have 30 to 40 players that needs to leave to Durban. And when you get to Durban, you also have 40 to 40 something players that have been there. So now you expecting to have your own accommodation because you promised that the new owners will take over. But the reality is, Sean, you play the game, I play the game, you know this. The reality is, it's your responsibility to get your own apartment. You're getting a salary. It's your own responsibility to get a transport to come to training and forth. You're getting paid for that. But then again, with this situation, because of the dynamic of the situation, yes, there might be an agreement from Celtics to Mamkiz to say, okay, get this plus, I'll sort them out with accommodation. Sorting them out of accommodation doesn't necessarily mean that I'm going to pay for your accommodation. And even in Bloemfontein, none of those players, Bloemfontein was playing for their accommodation. It's just that sometimes, I'm saying to you, Sean, with how things are working now, there are players that realistically they know that they're going to lose their jobs.
Yeah.
And that is sad to see. And, yeah. And for the fact that you, Sean, once you just moved into to Bloemfontein, to Durban, you haven't even settled. You don't even know whether you're going to be registered for the new season. You don't even know what's happening. You want to bring your own family today? Come on, be realistic as a footballer. That's on some of these players that are making demands that are unnecessary.
It is just
you
unfathomable.
You're just there for 2 weeks. You don't even know where you stay. You still teams are still sorting themselves out. Mm. I'm not saying Sean Mamkizo what she's doing it's right or not. But this type of things, this type of a mess needs time. Mm. It's not going to happen overnight. And I understand if those players that okay, players must always complain when they're getting full salary. But you can't come and complain and say, my family is still in Bloemfontein and I'm here. Hey, Chief, nobody told you to take your family to Bloemfontein.
Yeah, yeah. I think the big thing is like I said, if you are a seasoned professional where you were possibly respected at a high level at your previous club, you have now come to
club.
You're not getting paid. You're sharing a room with 18, 19 year olds. I mean, oh my.
And Sean, the worst thing is the chances are, if you do want to bounce, you do want to leave, it becomes going to be very difficult for you to even find a job somewhere else.
No, you can't.
Your quality. So yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah, I hope this gets sorted out. I hope we don't see a repeat of this, even though we have over the last few seasons, and it's really starting to kill our game, our beautiful game that is. The PSL has changed over the years from when Teko and I played. Now, that's for sure. We definitely wouldn't have seen this been happening, but let's hope the PSL sorts this out very soon, because I do feel for the players. It's really, really hectic. From here, we move on to the international news desk. With Kurt Buckerfield, this was pre-recorded, pre-show. Have a listen to what Kurt had to say.
We are joined now by Sokola Duma's international news correspondent, Kurt Buckerfield. How are you doing today, Kurt?
Good, thanks, Aidan. How are you, man?
I'm very well, thank you. Kurt, let's kick things off with some 2022 FIFA World Cup qualifiers. Mainly the match between Brazil and Argentina, which was suspended mid-game. What happened there? Can you please elaborate for us?
Cool. So it's, yeah, very embarrassing, first of all. What happened was four Argentina players who traveled with the Argentina team to Brazil failed to disclose that they had come or had recently been in England. And England is a red listed country in Brazil, meaning that if you are entering Brazil from England or having recently been in England, you are required to quarantine for 14 days. So these guys essentially try to, beat the system. Leading up to the game, there were a few reports saying that those four players would not be able to be involved at all. Then it became clear that things would continue as normal. Then, just a few minutes into that game, health officials, accompanied by police officials, enter the field to try and detain the four players. I think Buendia, one of the players, had not actually been on the field, but they tried to look for these four players, and that obviously led to a few arguments, and eventually leads to the game being abandoned. So FIFA, the most recent thing to come from this is that FIFA have opened investigations into the matter. I think they are investigating both the Argentinian Association and Brazil's Association to see where it went wrong and why the game was forced to be abandoned. And I assume that from there they will take action. And I also think that those four players are being investigated. So it's Emi Buendia, who plays for Aston Villa, Emiliano Martinez, who plays for Aston Villa, Giovanni Lo Celso, the Spurs midfielder, and then Christian Romero, the Spurs defender, who actually recently signed for them.
Just to confirm, all four of those players play in England and nobody figured that out.
So that's what's funny here, and that's why the likes of Messi and Argentina's coach, Lionel Scaloni, have been very confused by the way the health officials in Brazil have gone about this whole thing, obviously, because it's very clear to everybody where these players come from and who they play for at club level. Yeah. So the question is, well, why did they allow the game to start? And I think that Messi was filmed, or there's a quote going around that Messi asked, why have you waited 5 minutes, or I think it was 8 minutes into the match, why have you waited until now to enter the field? Why not just stop the game from going ahead, or stop these players from being involved? So it's very funny. It feels like the Brazilian health officials wanted to make an example of this Argentinian team. But no, very comical, very strange. I'm not sure when that game will be played. I don't think there's any news on that yet, when that game will be rescheduled for. I assume the next international break. But no, a very strange set of events there.
Hopefully that game will go ahead sooner rather than later. But look, moving on here, yesterday Cristiano Ronaldo finally joined Manchester United with his first training session since his return to Carrington for the second time round, I guess you could say. And obviously the international break is coming to an end, and league football is back this weekend. So what I wanted to ask you was, could we see Ronaldo make his second debut for Manchester United this weekend when they come up against Steve Bruce's Newcastle?
I think so. I think that that's the latest, is that he's very likely to be in that team. And if I were to, make a guess, I would say he's probably going to start. There would be no reason for Solskjaer to try and work him into the team. Ronaldo's also been training. He's had a pre-season with Juventus. He's just been on international duty with Portugal, but left early because of a suspension, which left him unavailable for the most recent qualifier. So Ronaldo decided to go to Manchester early to get that, I think it's a 5-day quarantine period over, so he could be available then for this weekend's fixture. So yeah, Aiden, I expect him to start. I think that Solskjaer is going to throw him right in there. Let's see what happens.
And lastly, Kurt, I wanted to ask you, what else has happened on the international circuit since we last spoke?
Oof, well, there's been so many games. I think the big takeaways from this week is that Erling Haaland is a very, very good striker, and
most definitely
will have a very good career. He scored 5 goals in this international break from 3 games. He plays for Norway. He's now scored 12 goals for Norway in just 15 games. So I think that leaves him seven goals short of entering the top 10 goal scorers of all time for his country. And he's very likely to break that record. I think it's like something like 34 goals.
Easy pickings.
Very, very easy. So he scored a hat-trick against Gibraltar on Tuesday night. Another big takeaway is that Memphis Depay is actually quite a good player too. I was very critical of him when he played for Manchester United a few years ago. He looked like he had never kicked a soccer ball at times, honestly. He joined with Louis van Gaal, and I thought when he arrived from PSV Eindhoven that he was going to be phenomenal, because I'd seen him play for Holland before. And then at United, he just failed to hit the ground running, and then failed to get any real start or find any real form. Eventually was sold to Lyon, and I think Manchester United opted against a buyback clause, perhaps thinking that he wasn't really going to be the player they thought he would be. Then he has a phenomenal time in France at Lyon, and has now joined Barcelona, where he started very well. I think 2 goals in his first 3 games. And he, like Erling Haaland, has scored 5 goals on this international break. He ended the week with a hat-trick against Turkey in a 6-1 victory on Tuesday night. And then another one, which I'm sure you guys will discuss with Teko and Sean, is that Ethiopia edged Zimbabwe with a late penalty on Tuesday, which of course leaves Bafana at the top of Group G in their World Cup qualification group. So that's very, very good news. And then, yeah, man, it was a fairly decent international break. France with a 2-0 win over Finland, Griezmann scoring a brace. Portugal with a 3-0 win over Azerbaijan. Bruno apparently played pretty well. Bruno Fernandes. So yeah, can't wait for club football to resume though. Lots to look forward to. I don't think Messi is going to be available for PSG this weekend though.
Yeah, that horrific tackle come up against him.
No, so it's actually got nothing to do with that. And it's got everything to do with the fact that he's got, apparently I've read, that he has a clause in his PSG contract, which essentially states that Argentina will take priority.
Yes. I remember us speaking about that a while ago.
So they play early on Friday morning. I think it's like 1:30 on Friday morning. They play against Bolivia in a World Cup qualifier. And with PSG set to play this weekend, it looks very unlikely that Messi will be back in time for that fixture. So that's quite interesting.
Speaking of like different, you know, types of clauses in contracts, specifically with PSG, have you seen what clauses popped out in Neymar's contract?
Yes, where he has to be respectful and kind to fans.
Yeah, for 540,000 euros a month.
Look, Aiden, there are so many crazy clauses in football contracts. I don't think we know the half of it. You can go find like something on the internet where it's like the 10 craziest contract clauses, and you'll be pretty stunned to see what players and clubs agree to.
I will definitely go do some research on that. But however, that is all we have time for today. Thank you very much for the international news update. Kurt Buckerfield, have a fantastic day further.
Cheers, Aiden.
All right, some crazy stuff going on against Brazil and Argentina, and obviously Ronaldo to make his second EPL debut. Some exciting times ahead on the international scene for sure. But take on a local front. Let's go place our bets. Some big games coming up this weekend. Take our Pirates versus Swallows. Who's your money on?
The original derby.
Oh, the big one.
I think it's going to be a draw.
Yeah.
Yeah, I fancy a draw for this one because I don't think both teams wouldn't want to lose to each one. And yeah. I think with House Swallows now lately been playing against one of the Pirates, it becomes a problem. So And I think it's the good results for Orlando Pirates this time around should be a draw.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I don't think it's all happy days in the Pirates camp. I could be wrong. We have spoken at length of Pirates having lost their identity over the last season or so, maybe a little bit less. I like what Morocco. I'm going for a Swallows win, Tex, I think. And if Pirates do lose, we're going to see, I presume, a new coach in the front seat. But I'm going for a Swallows win. Sundowns versus Chiefs, big one. Who you got, Tex?
Ah, the sky's the limit. The limit is skying. This is an interesting fixture for me, and I think it's gonna go bigger and bigger, especially this season, especially with how Kaizer Chiefs has formed their team.
Yeah.
But I still believe the Sundowns has enough in the tank to beat Kaizer Chiefs.
Yeah, we did speak last week about Sundowns not being the brutal Sundowns we know, not being the exciting Sundowns we know. They look a bit tired. They're sort of running out of ideas. But so for that instance, I'm going for an exciting 2-2 draw. I do believe that Chiefs will be the only team to push Sundowns this season. And I hope it does go down to the wire. So I'm going for an exciting 2-2 draw. International scene, Leeds United versus Liverpool, one of my favorite teams, Leeds. Where do you see this going?
I strongly believe that the Leeds of last season is no longer the same. And there's, with Liverpool, I think there's a lot of change in terms of the demeanor and the character of the players this season around. And I think they're a team that are hungry and they know the threats that other teams are possessing, especially your Chelsea, your Man City, your Man U. So I think for Liverpool, I think this is a type of game that it's a must win for them to just to send that message.
They have to win,
They're still title contenders.
Which they are. They're looking good. They are. I agree with you. I'm going for a Liverpool win. Yeah. I think they have to. Have you seen that Leeds United documentary?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, it's epic, eh?
Interesting.
Yeah, man.
Like, we need more of those.
I know, dude. I see Netflix.
We need more of those.
I see Netflix have just signed a deal with the PGA, the golf, to do exactly what the Formula One have done, what exactly League United have done. Oh. So now we're going to be seeing backroom with the golf.
That's dope, man.
Yeah, it's going to be epic. And our team, City versus Leicester. I think it's an away game for City. I'm not quite sure, but Leicester looking good. Vardy on form. Man City looking unstoppable. Gotta be a City win, surely.
Yeah, man. I mean, we all know how Leicester plays whenever they play City. They're waiting for that opportunity for Vardy to use that speed. And I think I would presume that at this stage, after so long, Pep Guardiola would have had a solution for such plays.
Mm.
You know, you need to find a solution for such plays, and you can't be always being getting hurt by the same guy, the same play every time you play against them.
Sure.
And I think Vardy has hurt Man City so much in the past, and I strongly believe that Man City they have to go all out this season, and they need to fix this type of nickname. You know, this Achilles heel, Leicester City, you fix that, and then you become better. I think this is it's going to be one of those challenging tasks for them, but they have to win.
Yeah, they got to win. Again, it's very rare you go a season unbeaten. This is a very, very tricky game, but Man City, I think, 3 points for sure. That is for Place Your Bets. We move on to This Week in Football History.
Today, we remember great moments from the past. We dive into the time capsule. Join us as we remember great moments from This Week in Football History.
This week in 2019, African footballing legend Samuel Eto'o retired from professional football. 349 goals for club and country in a career spanning 22 years. Eto'o is definitely one of the greatest footballers reigning from Africa. This week in 2009, and I cannot believe this is 11 years ago, Emmanuel Adebayor scored his first goal for Manchester City against his former club Arsenal. However, the talking point of that match was his celebration. The Togolese footballing star ran across the length of the pitch and celebrated in front of the Arsenal fans. Teko, do you remember that? I remember it clearly.
Yeah, but Adebayor didn't give a
And rightly so. But 11 years ago, that is ridiculous.
Yeah, time flies.
12 years ago. I mean, that's... Oh, anyway. And finally, this week in 2008, Real Madrid defeated Numancia 4-3 at the Bernabeu in the second week of the 08-09 La Liga campaign. In doing so, Real became the first team to tally 5,000 goals in La Liga. That is crazy. And that is This Week in Football History. And from there, we've got an interesting car this week. It's the new Toyota GR Yaris. If you've been living under a rock or are like me and don't want to know much about it just yet, the Toyota GR Yaris, in short, a rally car with aircon so that you and I can enjoy it too. The GR Yaris is one of those rather special machines. An initial batch of only 190 units is destined for our shores, but Toyota South Africa assures us that more will be made available in months to come. History lesson aside, the Toyota Yaris, the GR Yaris is the latest blazing hot creation from the Toyota Gazoo Racing Fraternity and is in fact the first wholly designed and built model to arise from them. The little Yaris in inverted commas is even made on the same assembly line as a regular Yaris and is crafted on a dedicated motorsports line. The all-wheel drive system is rather special too. The lightest unit that Toyota has ever produced. It allows for three different driving modes with variable torque and power splits. Picture this, Teko, coming in at a whopping 700,000 rand. Yes, you heard me right. 700,000 rand for a Yaris. You're quite right, though. This is Volkswagen GTI money. And yes, the Golf will be easier to live with, but there is no way the GTI can match the GR Yaris for sheer driving, engagement, performance, or character. 0 to 100 in 5.5 seconds and top speed of 230 kilometers an hour. Yes, that is a Yaris. It is a Toyota though, so I do give it a 9 out of 10. Crazy. Crazy. A little Yaris, 0 to 100 in 5.5 seconds. Are you serious?
Bro.
Anyway.
Getting expensive. And
yeah,
expensive.
I mean, that is $750,000 for a Yaris. But have a look at the GR Yaris. It's something special. It's very, very different.
Yeah, man.
We're going to need some motivation, Teko, to afford some 700,000 rand, my friend.
Hit us up, Chief.
Yes,
give us
sir.
Something.
Yes, sir. If you continue to live in your past, you can never change your future. Make a decision. The past is the past. It's gone. Let it go. The future isn't here. You see, all we have here is right now, this very moment. Take action on who you are becoming. Where do you want to go with your life? I write down personally my goals every single morning. Believe that I have accomplished them already. If you do the same, you will see how your life will drastically change.
Oh, man.
Not bad, eh? Speaking from the heart today, Tex. Yeah, and that, can you believe it, is how we wrap up episode 88 of The Car Wash. Whether you have been listening on SL Podcast at co.za, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, or Mikey King 96.7's Gay Time, thank you for tuning in. Of course, I've been your host with the legend himself, Mr. Teko Madise. Thank you, my friend.
Awe, my buta. Awe, awe.
And we will see you same time, same place next week. Thank you, guys. Cheers. Today is a great day for car wash.
Yeah, sure. Car wash. This is the car wash on the SL Podcast. This is a Flangana Corn.